Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Buenos dias, guten Abend, bonjour. How you? Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're approximately 19 hours from now. You get a chance to watch a crying man at a Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf whine, moan, and complain as he turns in his soul.
Not whine, moan, and complain, but I will admit to the crying part. And there's a reason for that, because these Kia Souls are really nice. If you have not driven a Kia Soul, you need to test drive this vehicle and find out more about it. Features like a panoramic sunroof, 8-inch screen with backup camera, navigation available, leather interior, leather-wrapped and heated steering wheel, gas mileage in the mid-20s, and highway mileage rolling closer to 30. You know, there's really not much to dislike about this vehicle. As a matter of fact, the only thing you can find to dislike is when you have to turn it back in.
Kevin, I had the same experience. I rented one down in Miami, Florida, to drive to Key West. And that is one of the most magnificent drives in America, U.S. Route 1 from Miami down. And when I got back to the airport, I had a kind of a moment where they had to take the keys out of my hand for that soul. Fabulous car.
You feel like you lost your soul.
I did.
Yeah, yeah. I will have that feeling tomorrow.
There won't be any incidents this time with them getting the keys back. Where they're...
This is really going exactly the way Sunbury Motors wanted. That's great.
Yeah.
Listen, if you don't want to lose your soul, get down to Sunbury Motors, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. No, Kai loves this stuff. Don't let him. He's gonna see me tomorrow because I really, that was good. I like
Steve,
that.
Steve, would that be a play on words that Kevin just did?
No, but here's one for you. Look up the word abyss. All right. See what that says.
Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 of 15. Hummel's Wharf is the place to stop later this afternoon to check out my soul.
You left your soul there, didn't you? Oh, we have somebody on the line coming in there, Kevin.
Oh, it's Doug.
I know.
It's Doug.
Can't wait for the bird song, man.
No, Doug listens to the commercial. He thinks Sunbury Motors is awesome. At the same time, he knows that if he can call in and have the chance to save the show, he will do it. So, once again, out to the mound and tap of the right arm, and we bring in Doug Birdsong. Hello, my friend. It's so good to hear you again.
It's great to speak with you, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Doug, they won another overtime game last week to go with the ones that they won last year. Have they developed that kind of inner toughness that any good team needs to have?
I believe they're working their way toward it. I think it kind of started at the end of last year, Steve, when they ended up in, actually it's now four of their last games, the team has gone into overtime, and obviously a good number from last year's team returned to this year's squad. So I think that it is kind of building. I wouldn't say they're there yet, but I do believe maybe this game, even more than the overtime at Cornell, it really helped solidify the team. You could just see the way they all ran into the end zone where Matt Delmaro finished the game, basically, and they just jumped up and down on him. He may not have appreciated that at the time, but I think that really was a more defining moment than even the overtime win, in the past that they've had, or even the close win against Cornell 2 weeks ago. So I think they're working their way to it, but I wouldn't say it's completely galvanized yet.
Tell me a little bit about RJ Nitti and what kind of year he's had to this point.
Well, I would think he would probably say a little disappointing. He has rushed for four scores, which he had never rushed for a touchdown before in his previous couple of years. So that's a positive, but he's not going to do a whole lot with his legs typically. It's with his arm, and his arm is really good. He has a pro-sized body at right at 6'5 and 230. But his passes, particularly the deep balls in games, have floated some. In practice, they've looked good. He's got good zip on them. But in games, they've tended to float, and that's usually a prescription for disaster. So I would say if you were to ask him, he probably would be a little disappointed. He's only completing about 51% of his passes, and just the consistency has not been there, not necessarily game to game, although that has kind of been a problem, but particularly pass to pass. He just doesn't seem to have the same trajectory that he has had in the past.
They were down 19-7 in that game at VMI. You know, what in the end brought them back?
Well, certainly the kickoff return by Joe DeFloria. I mean, that was humongous, just to light a spark in the team. The bench across the way from where we were seated in the press box, very dull, very lifeless. But once Joey ran back that kickoff, it just ignited everybody. So I think that first and foremost. I think the defense, though, throughout the whole length of the game, the defense and Alex Peachin's punting kept Bucknell certainly within striking distance to allow a kickoff return to spark everybody. And then the other things, the defense stopping VMI on their next offensive series, and then the offense kind of catching fire, coming up with two huge catches of over 15 yards each by Andrew Hours and DeFloria. And then, of course, being able to score, get the two-point conversion. It was just kind of a hodgepodge of things, I guess you'd say, Steve.
Okay. You have to do a lot of sports, Doug, during the course of the week because of the way things are right now. So you've had to jump from thing to thing. Discuss the time management you need to have right now for you personally to make sure that you're ready for Saturday.
Well, I have to be ready for Friday first this week because I have volleyball.
Right.
We play Loyola.
Right. So that's my point. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, it pretty much starts as it does with you, I'm sure, in your Penn State games. It starts Sunday after everything is done Saturday. And, of course, we got back about 11:30 from Lexington on Saturday night. So break down video of that to be able to put up online, and then just start the next day with some of the other things that I have. I'm also putting together a Bucknell basketball video because Saturday night there is a night with Bison basketball at Larrison Hall on the Bucknell campus, and we're going to do a video presentation before. So this week has kind of been a little bit more intense. I already have my volleyball stuff done. All my football stuff is completed. But now I have to work on water polo because we have water polo Saturday night and a couple of games on Sunday. So it is a hodgepodge of different things that you have to kind of put together. And I think it's long hours, you know, as much as anything. Our daughter's birthday was Monday, so obviously wanted to take her out to eat and spend time with her. So it's just you got to do what you got to do, and I think you know that quite well.
Sure. No, I understand that, but it takes some time management because in the end – yeah, you'll do water polo and you'll do a great job with it. That'll be your concentration at the moment. But at the same time, your primary job is going to be that game on Saturday.
And that is exactly right. And to that end, I spend, I would say, probably 2 hours a day from Sunday till Friday to be able to get bits and pieces of that game in, whether it's notes, spotter's board, or possibly doing interviews. I actually recorded my interview for Saturday's game with Coach Susan this morning at 11. So just, I pretty much have it down to almost a science again this week, kind of throws a little bit of a curveball into it with the video. But even with some other games that you have to prepare for, typically it starts Sunday, do a little bit Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even Friday.
What has it been like for you, Doug, to watch the job Susan has done to bring the program back? It's been a process. It's taken a few years to do. What has that process been like for you watching it happen before your eyes?
I personally have just been astounded because And as you said, Steve, where Bucknell football was before Joe got here, you know, it was probably a little bit more finesse ball. And I think the biggest thing that Joe brought from day one was an attitude of, he calls it downhill, I call it aggression in a good football sense. We are going to control the line of scrimmage, and we are going to do our part, and you're going to just have to stop us. And I think it was that attitude, and just seeing all of that blossom, it's just been incredible. It's kind of been a little piecework. We had a 6-5 season and then dropped back some. But now he's building more consistency. And I think a good bit of that has to deal with these scholarships. When the advent of scholarships, it really has helped, I think, the overall outlook of Bucknell football.
How tough's the travel been for you to do it in this particular way? I mean, I'm lucky because obviously they'll go to Ohio State, I'll get on a charter, the whole deal, they'll go to Northwestern, whatever. So, I mean, for me, it obviously things are very easy in terms of travel. What about for you trying to get someplace, get in there, set everything up, and get ready for a particular game?
You know, it really isn't too difficult. And now, we did leave at like 5:30 in the morning this past Saturday to head down to Lexington. We usually go day of, unless, like, couple of years ago we played at Dartmouth. It's just too long of a drive to be able to go day of and then come back the same day. It's usually not too difficult. We ride in a van. There are about six of us. Kevin, of course, is in that van as well. That can be a little difficult, but other than that, it's not that difficult. Just ride
that's
up
why,
there.
That's why they created roof racks, Doug.
You know, that's a great idea. We'll have to explore that option next trip.
No. I don't want to get my sling box wet, so I can't watch all these games.
Very good point. He loves watching games. But, you know, it's not super difficult. I think we make it fun, if you will. And the setup, it's usually pretty simple. The big issue comes if there's a problem. And I know Kevin filled in for me for a game at VMI a couple of years ago, and they had major issues with the phone line. Mm-hmm. I think that can be a little bit taxing.
Do you have a preferred card at Wendy's?
Yes.
Kevin has been telling me, no, I do not. But I tell you, we were
all
really
all
treated.
All I know is I went into a Wendy's, and they replaced Dave's picture with yours. I mean, I get a little concerned.
Well, it was a little weird the one time when he said, listen, we have to stop at Wendy's on the way home. And we said, why? He said, because the stock price is down and I need to get my retirement money up.
Very, very good points for both of you. No, actually, we were treated to something special this time. Now, at State College area, I think you probably have a Chick-fil-A. We do not around Lewisburg, so we stopped at a Chick-fil-A on the way back.
That was right there. That was worth the trip to VMI.
That's right.
Well, that's because Kevin's drawn by the cow telling you to eat more chicken.
And I did.
Now, here's the issue with that. The cow is a Holstein. They don't make burgers out of Holsteins. They're milk cows.
That's a very good point. You, I tell you what, Steve, that is what sets you apart from everybody else. You're very perceptive, you know?
Doug, look, my father grew up on a farm. I know Jerseys, Guernseys, Holsteins, the whole thing. He'd take me to whatever. So, believe me, okay, it's a milk cow that they use to tell you to eat more chicken. All right, I got it. Okay.
The same cows they use at Hershey Park to talk about the milk chocolate, they're using to eat more chicken, yeah.
Oh,
well,
boy.
That is milk chocolate, Kevin.
Right.
All right. Doug, always a pleasure. Great respect for the great work that you do, football, basketball, and everything. So thanks a lot for the time you gave us, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure to be able to speak with both of you, and certainly look forward to, and we'll probably talk before that, certainly look forward to seeing you down at the Bryce Jordan Center again for another basketball matchup.
You're not going to see me that night.
Oh, no, you have a football conflict.
Michigan State's that same day. It's the only basketball game I'm missing this year. Yeah.
Oh, so, man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it is. Doug, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you very
much. Remember that,
remember
that hint about the roof rack. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Tonight, Josh Johnson and the Indianapolis Colts take on Ryan Mallett and the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. There's a drawing card for you.
Now, if that was the radio side, it would sound like, tonight, Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, but Josh Johnson at quarterback for Colts and Ryan Mallett. You don't think right now Phil Simms and Jim Nance are sitting there saying, thinking this, we're getting paid.
So Hasselbeck is not getting the nod tonight?
Well, he had to go back in today. He's sick. Now, he got out of the hospital. I think he is going to start, but... Okay.
Hey,
so there you go.
I've got a score for you. Major League Baseball. Top of the third inning up in Canada. Texas leading Toronto 2-0, as they say in Canada.
You know what? David Price is only 1-5 in his career in postseason games, and that's baffling.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson and the Indianapolis Colts against Ryan Mallett and the Houston Texans tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Hey, two Hall of Famers. They're not household names now, but soon.
Welcome, friends, to Houston, where tonight we steal ratings by saying, hey, there's a football game on.
And you'll still watch.
Okay. Andrew Luck, not here. The Texans quarterback for next year, not here yet.
In transit.
This is all we got. How many J.J. Watt references can one make?
We'll have an ISO camera on J.J. Watt the entire game because, well, there's no one else to really ISO.
One of the four teams in this division makes the playoffs. That really is the theme. All right, so there you go. Yeah, David Price is 1-5 all-time in postseason. It's like Clayton Kershaw. I mean, who can figure it out? I mean, A.J. Burnett, I can figure out his 6.37 postseason ERA in his career. Okay, yeah, but Kershaw and Price, who are far more talented, just not happening. I don't know. So, Toronto will still win the game. They'll probably still win by, like 7-4 or something like that. It'll be fine.
Yeah, and college football also tonight, a big game out on the West Coast.
Like this game, Washington, USC. I'm going to watch that game.
I like the coach of Washington a lot.
Well, Chris Peterson?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? But offensively, they struggle, Bob.
I know. I don't get it.
Because he doesn't have the talent yet. I mean, it's only his second year there, and he has not been able to transform. Like, you can't walk into a place and magic wand it.
Yeah.
Look at Jim Harbaugh. Brady Hoke recruited really, really well. Jim Harbaugh is inheriting that talent, and to his credit, is organizing it, motivating it, and they're playing really well with it. But it's not as if the cupboard, especially on defense and the offensive line, was bare when he walked into that building.
No. Chris Peterson, great, great coach out at Boise State. Remember the old Statue of Liberty play against Oklahoma in a bowl game? He has a bag of tricks.
The guy that built it was Dan Hawkins.
Yeah.
Dan Hawkins built it, went to Colorado, and it didn't go well. So
no, it did
I
not.
Don't know. Sometimes you don't know.
And soon, doing water polo from Bucknell, we'll hear Doug Bird's song. We've got to get that on the air, don't we? Water polo on the radio would be great.
I think it's a video cast.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Steve, you've never done water polo, have you?
No, I have not. And nor will I do it on News Radio 1070 WKOK unless there's significant paper involved.
No, wait, that sounds like something I would say.
Sunbury Motors Kia. this month, the Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit!
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Texas leads Toronto 2-0 in the third inning. By the way, very happy for Texas manager Jeff Banister. Bandy's made the trip many times in the State College when he was a roving instructor for the Pirates at the time, before then becoming the bench coach of the Pirates, and the Spikes were a Pirates affiliate for 6 years. So got to know Jeff a little bit along the way, so I'm happy to see him, the job he's doing with the Texas Rangers. Dr. Robert Lombardi, the PIAA Executive Director, joins us. Hi, Bob. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for the invite.
All right, six categories now. Discuss the when you sat down in the room and went through some options. What made this the most attractive option and why?
Shortens the season a week. Gets us away from an overlap with winter sports. Cuts down a week of contact. It also gets us out of some bad weather. Also brings us in the line with some other states. We're the largest state with over 580 schools playing football with only four classes. The next state is Iowa. They have like 280. People our size have as many as eight. Like Florida has a similar number of schools. They have eight classes. The other piece that gives more people the opportunity to get in the postseason, they seem to want that. We have the ability to give schools flexibility in scheduling by taking their second scrimmage date and offering a possible first play date on that date. So they were the major mover and shakers. And the biggest one, the schools and the students and their football coaches and community seem to want it. But it was illustrated by a 26-4 vote.
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact that you want to take that second scrimmage date and use that as a potential opener. How did that come up in discussion?
It was a way, as you probably know, much of our state in the West plays a two-scrimmage, nine-game schedule, and they move into their postseason. And they usually have a full 16-team bracket. In the East, many of the schools want five home games, five away for budgetary, traditional rivals, those type of things. If you trade a scrimmage for a game, both sides can be treated at the same end date because nine and two or one and ten is still 11 weeks of competition, and it still allows them to have maximum participation in postseason. It was a nice mix.
Bob, what are the cutoff numbers to get into each classification? I mean, and where is the obviously some divisions are going to be larger than others for obvious reasons, but what are going to be some of the new cutoff points to form this?
I don't know that. I can't answer that today. I'll be able to answer it in about a month. We are right in the process of taking those classification numbers in the schools. From the schools, they have till next Thursday, the 15th, to get their numbers in. And what we're going to do, Steve, is we're going to start the process by putting schools in six equal number of classes. So that means the same number of schools will be in all six. We may have about 97 in each class. The other thing that this sixth classification does, it eliminates some of the schools, except for our top class, playing such a large disparity between schools with four classes. We have a lot of schools are, you know, if you're at that lower end of that quad A, I mean, you're playing schools three and four times bigger than you. We're going to eliminate a lot of that. And maybe, you know, except that top class, most people are going to be more like size. And I think that's a benefit for our schools.
Yeah, that's a big plus. Scheduling is something that is not as easy as people realize. Does this open the door to making scheduling easier for some of these teams once you get the classifications straightened out?
Oh, I think so. I think the stroke of genius by the board was to allow the flexibility of one scrimmage 10 games, two scrimmages
yes.
in 10 games, or two scrimmages in 9 games. And if they want to shorten their postseason, they can still go 2-10 and keep those traditional rivals. They can keep, you know, sometimes in the East, they play their traditional rival on the last game of the year. In the West, they don't seem to do that. They try to front load that. They play that before their section games. So, you know, with a state our size, it's really different in every different area.
Are you, you know, you've been at this a long time. And you talked about Iowa, for example, the number of classifications. And as you know, I travel all over the Midwest, obviously, and I see a lot of Friday night football highlights all over the place. Were you surprised that it took Pennsylvania this long to get to six? And what, you know, what was the, did the impetus come from the board or from the schools?
The impetus in this came from the schools, and really, it came from the football steering committee. And to me, this is the best scenario. It was a grassroots-driven scenario. And I compliment the football coaches. They were energized. I compliment the schools themselves. They said, you know what? We want to take a look at this. We want change. And I think the board took their time. I mean, Steve, we had 6 board meetings, 3 football steering committees, and 2 strategic plans. So, I mean, we vetted this baby pretty well.
You sure did. You sure did.
Hey, Bob, you talk about grinding. Woo.
That's grind. That is grinding. But you know what? It's the right solution. Now, what does that do to the final weekend of the season where the championship games are played? Will you now have to expand by one day?
We may. Yes, we may. We're looking at a number of different scenarios. A possible expansion of another day, 2 days of 3. 1 day of one, a nightcap on a potential Thursday night that seems to be very popular in the NFL now, as well as the college ranks. 2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. We have a whole lot of things that we can look at as we've talked to the site, and we're really not ready to divulge our final answer at this time. We will. Once we cement it with the site, because we have gone through a RFP process and it was awarded to Hershey, and we have to work with their schedules as well.
The PIAA has done a lot of great things over the years, Bob. Where do you feel the organization is as a whole on this date compared to maybe 5 and 10 years ago?
Oh, I think right now that we are more open organization to listen to new and good and progressive ideas, and I think this is the perfect illustration that came from the football steering committee, and Bob Tonkin needs to be patted on the back, the District 9 football chairman. He took the bull by the horns and went to the coaches association, and they talked about it, and when their vote last January at 30-3 really spurred things on that said, you know what, folks, it's time for change, and the board listened.
And you're also going to have, instead of 8 teams and 4 winners, you're going to have 12 teams and 6 winners, and that's never a bad thing.
No, I think it's great for students. Now, if you think about it, there's nothing that puts you riding on your fire truck in your community like coming home with a state championship.
No,
am I right?
Question about it.
I mean, you know, you've seen it. The baseball teams that have been out there the last 2 years ago, I think it was Abington Heights. They were waiting for them on 81, took them all the way back to Clark Summit with a police escort and jumped, put them on the fire truck and went to graduation. How can you beat that?
Yeah, you can't beat that, and that's why I've tried to tell my co-hosts, always remember the police escort is in front of you and not in back of you.
Always a good tip.
Bob, an absolute pleasure. You know how much I always enjoy it. You can tell the committee that one.
I loved it.
Okay. Always enjoy talking to you, as you know, with great respect. We appreciate the time you gave us. And when things get even more settled, we'd love to have you back.
Hey, anytime. We're always available for you. I thank you. You do such great work. So we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob. Dr. Robert Lombardi, he is the PIAA Executive Director. We'll come back with more and wrap up this broadcast extravaganza as only we can do it on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit!
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Our thanks to Dr. Robert Lombardi for joining us on the show today, the PIAA Executive Director.
He's a great also guy, Steve.
Yeah, I have tremendous respect for Bob. I think Bob's the real deal. He genuinely cares, and this means a lot to him to have it done right. So I really, really respect him.
And the other thing about the PIAA before he became Executive Director, it was always kind of a organization, you weren't sure what was going on. You'd hear rumors about a decision being made. But with Bob Lombardi running the show, it's the word, I guess, well used these days, it's transparent, or much more so than it's ever been. And I think there was a lot of criticism in the past, and Bob has taken that away.
And for Kevin during the break, all we heard about was District 4, District 4, District 4.
Well, that's where I'm at.
I guess my understanding is that for the PIAA, it's always District 4 holding until.
Well, that's where I'm at. That's where I make my living, so to speak, is in District 4. So that's where a lot of my concerns are. But I agree with you guys. I met him one time down at the wrestling championships. I think it was this past year, and the one thing that I like the most is his accessibility to those of us in the media, and his direct answers to direct questions. I really appreciated that about him.
Okay, let's update everybody, by the way, on what's going on in the playoffs. Blue Jays are playing the Rangers, as I mentioned. Know Jeff Banister a little bit, the manager of the Texas Rangers, because he came into State College a lot when they were a Pirates affiliate. He'd been a roving instructor at the time as to what they were doing, and then he finally became the bench coach of the Bucks. And this was, I think, he'd been the manager at Indianapolis for a period of time before he was doing the roving instructor stuff. And just a good guy, great guy to be around, good guy to talk baseball with. And his team's up 2-0 right now in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Texas leads Toronto. Tonight, it's Houston and Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is out. Smart move by the Colts. He has a shoulder injury, and playing him now, you got to think long-term with him. That is your franchise. Playing him now is not going to work. So he is out of tonight's game. And the NFL will still garner tonight. My guess is an 11 or 12 rating tonight. Now, the other ratings have been up near 17, but I think they'll garner maybe an 11 or 12 tonight, which is amazing rating. That's still an amazing Thursday night rating. And it's Houston and Indianapolis. Yeah. How about that one?
It's not the Steelers and Ravens, that's for sure.
No. Well, no, that was a 17.
Yeah.
That was a 17. Same thing with the Giants and the Redskins, and 17.
And I believe you predicted that 17 rating, Steve, if memory serves me well.
And that's, but I think tonight will be maybe an 11 or a 12. You're going to lose rating points. Just you would have lost rating points even with Andrew Luck playing, because Houston and Indianapolis will not bring the same cachet to the table. Even though, yes, people know J.J. Watt, yes, they know Andrew Luck, but now with Luck out of the game, you've got to roll that back just a little bit. Toronto has put a run on the board, bottom of the fourth, 2-1 Texas, and the Jays have first and second and one out in the bottom of the fourth at Rogers Stadium. So there you go.
Also college football tonight. Also some more baseball somewhere.
Yeah, there'll be more playoff baseball tonight. Kevin, I didn't want to bring up your pet peeve about charter schools and things like that.
I don't think so there either. No, that wasn't the that wasn't the interview to do that. I'd like to see how, but I want to see how this breakdown works. Maybe this six classification system will help the parity a little bit because it breaks things up a little more.
What do you mean parity? What do you need parity for?
No. I'm not getting into it.
I don't think you mean parity. I think you mean...
No, I mean parity. Oh, no, I mean parity.
I thought you meant like competition.
I mean parity.
Chance. I want my team to have a chance.
I mean parity.
Oh, parity's not a good thing. You have to have winners and losers.
Okay, parity, good thing or bad thing? Look at the NFL. Now, the NFL still has dominant teams in New England, obviously. Now you've seen Seattle rise up, some teams go down. There's a lot of teams in that 6-10 to 10-6 range, or actually, even more importantly, the 7-9 to 9-7 range right now. And what's interesting is that some of them have won the Super Bowl. Giants doing that, obviously, is a 9-7 team. They've won the Super Bowl. The key is getting into the tournament. Once you're in the tournament, everything's out the door. It's just getting to the tournament that makes a big difference. Parity, do more fan bases have a feel like their team is in the race? Bob, that does work to their favor.
Look at college basketball right now.
Does it work to the favor? Yeah, but you know what? But in college basketball, and I've talked about this with you before, Kev. How many times you talk about, I love the underdog. The underdog has no cachet from the Sweet 16 on. None.
No. I agree with that.
The ratings, the longer an underdog stays in the tournament, the lower the rating is compared to the year before.
But I think the parity in college basketball right now, year round, is what's helped the ratings in college basketball.
Yeah. Well, I think you're seeing college football with parity now too.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Teams up, but that's regulated by the fact that college basketball has 13 scholarships and the transfer rate is unbelievable. It's 700 plus, and the elite teams are losing players to the NBA after 1 year. So that creates parity. In college football, that parity is that 25-85, where the guy that maybe 25 years ago you would have taken as maybe your 90th guy on the roster and eventually may have developed into somebody good for you, now is on somebody else's roster. So there's more parity there. The pros have parity. The NFL has some. Baseball has developed some because 5 years ago, the Pirates, the Cubs, the Astros, and the Royals, who would have thought that those four teams, any one of them, would be in postseason, let alone all four at the same time? I mean that's been a stunning thing. Baseball people will tell you there's actually more parity in Major League Baseball than there is in the NFL. And look at the evidence. Cubs, Pirates, Royals, Astros. Wow, and now you got Toronto. That's pretty interesting. And the Mets have come back. Now they're in it. You don't have the same standard bearers every year, except the Cardinals seem to be one of those teams that's in there on a regular basis. The Rangers have sort of been in there a little bit on a regular basis. I mean, the Yankees just got in. They were out in one game. So, I mean, the Red Sox have only been in once in the last 5 years. They won it, but, you know, they've only been, you know, so there's, you know, so parity, Bob, you know what's good for any sport? A few dominant teams are really good for any sport because they're because people gravitate towards stars.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at Kevin. I mean, look at when Kevin walks from the parking lot to the press box.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's the same. Don't brag.
People line up to shake his hand, high five him, yeah. Fist bump him.
But I think the one thing that will happen here in high school sports with the six divisions is I think you'll see, and this is where I say the parity comes in, I think you're going to see the split be a little bit better as far as how the public schools and the private schools mix. It seems right now that there's an awful lot of private schools in the class AAA and AA. I think that's going to start to change when you go to a six-class system, and that's what I'm hoping will happen and get a little more parity.
Well, we're going to find out.
If you could just get them out of District 4, that'd be great.
We're going to find out in a couple of years when this actually is implemented. And we'll see how many of the 12 teams come from the private schools.
It's not a problem in District 4, though. It's a problem when you get into inter-district play, Steve.
Exactly. We have two private schools in District 4. District 6 doesn't have a lot either out in your neck of the woods, okay. Steve.
You realize, Bob, that in the end the show really is about him?
Wasn't it always meant to be?
It's better than Seinfeld. That was a show about nothing.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Well... And, you may not be far off on this either.
And you know, Birdsong let the cat out of the bag when he mentioned, and you mentioned it, the roof rack ride home for Kevin. News.